Thank you all so much. If you have your Bibles, taken them, open them up to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. For those of you visiting, I know this may seem like we went a long time with prayer and praise, but I want to say that along with your last song, very correct, my brother from Kentucky, don't run off. Just hang loose there a minute. Matthew chapter 5, but we spent that time because that is... We come here to worship, and that is the most important thing, is sharing the praises of what God is doing and also the request that is there. Folks, that's what makes this church what it is, that it is a praying church, and that is the sweet spirit that we receive in here by it. I also want to tell you, as my brother, I know you've got to go to be on the road to head that way, but his time with us, he belongs to a church there in Kentucky. And he has expressed your love that you have given to him and for them and asked for his church and the elders for the entire church to be praying for this church. And so in turn, I appreciate that, my brother. But I also want us to be praying for his church, and I'm sorry I forgot the name. Cane Run Cowboy Church. So... put that into your, as they pray for us, we want to pray for them as well. And I know you have to be on the road, and I hate to see you go, but I do understand. Matthew chapter 5, I want to very quickly touch here on a message. But it is important that we share your praises, your concerns to our Heavenly Father. But it builds us up, even as Sheila gave her testimony. When we hear about things that God is doing in your life, it is important to the rest of us. It's also important to hear the concerns, because God has told us in His Word, when we collectively pray for something, what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and so we seek Him with that. In that, this is called, the title of the message is Letting Light Shine. And so I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 13, a very familiar probably for most of you. We want to look at it. I'm going to have you seated, and we're immediately going to flip over to John for this message. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in 13. You are the salt of the earth. Now, the Lord had this church in mind, because ain't nobody saltier than we are probably, along with some pepper and hot sauce in that deal. But anyway, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill cannot be hidden. Do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 42. John 12 and 42. While you're turning there, I'm going to give you the intro of the verses right above in 37 so that you know when we drop into 42. Christ has been teaching and predicts His death on the cross. Then in 37, John recites again the words of Isaiah that the Lord He asked, who has believed our report and to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he speaks about that God and the Israelites, he's speaking of the older times back, were blinded. They did not accept God's word. They would not look upon it. And so drops us into 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. For he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And he speaks not only of that, but he is our teacher, and he is our example that we should have. He goes on in 13, in fact, declares in 13:13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." In that is what praise and prayer is all about. I don't know if y'all have ever thought of it that way, but we're washing each other's feet. We're praying with you for the concerns you have and praising God for the praises that you have. You, in turn, are doing it ours. And from each of us, learn. As you and I share a couple of things here, and I'll close quickly here, but a couple of things that we share. One, we have all who've learned Jesus Christ and know him personally as our Lord and Savior are the light of the world. We are the ambassadors. We've talked about that before from Scripture. We are to share what God has given us. It's not just receive our salvation and say, okay, good, I am saved. I can sit back in the pew, prop my feet up, and relax till God calls me home. Got news for you. God intended for us to work. I know for some of you that's a four-letter word, but God put that four-letter word in there just like he did love. So you can put those two together and love work, see? Talking to a bunch of retired folks, I understand. They didn't get the humor in that deal, all right? God wants us to work with his love. And I brag on you as a church because each one of you have a part of that ministry and you're devoted to it, from whether you are a prayer warrior or you are cooking or you are teaching or whatever you may be doing. God has thousands of ministry. He says that his word will go out. It will not return void. So every little thing that we do on behalf of the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel to others, folks, is a ministry. Not everybody's to be the singers. Not everybody's to be the preacher. Not everybody's to be the Sunday school teacher. But what you do that God calls you to do and gave you the talents to do is important. You are sharing the light, and you should share it throughout your life in everything that you do. Second to that is, he talks about the salt. And I jokingly said, yeah, this church is salty. Probably you're going to hear things that you won't hear anywhere else. You know, we don't care if we got an elder that can't remember to count to two. We got one that won't speak English. That's okay. Imagine how dull this service would be without those in particular deals. You got a preacher that gets tongue-tied sometimes, and that's okay too. We enjoy the laughter. God gave you and I the ability to laugh and the desire to fellowship, because he created us to have fellowship. That's part of it. And we can laugh and we can joke. But when it comes to the spiritual, we get real serious. And not that we can't have fun and joy in that as well. Because, my sister, I agree with you. Mine and your joy comes not from the things of this world. It comes from him. And we don't have real joy if it doesn't come from him. Or we have a momentary of something that seems like joy, but the real peace, the real joy comes from Jesus Christ. And he says there that the salt, we're the salt of the earth. That's that praise and prayer time. Why do you think people outside of this church call you and say, would you have your church pray? Because you've gotten the reputation of being a praying church. Excellent reputation to have. And we see that prayers are answered. May not always be the way we think it is, but when we pray for His will to be done. He sees everything, knows everything. You and I only see partly. And He opens our eyes to let us see more. And down the road, a lot of times we see why He answered the way He did. Never take that away from God, His sovereignty, to be able to answer as He sees fit. Secondly, there, so that salt is you and I. If our salt, if we don't share the gospel, He says, what is the use? For you see, we are His hands and His feet to carry the gospel both in hand as well as in where we travel. In John, what He says here when He's talking about walking in the light, Jesus says, I did not come and do it in my own authority. Neither do you and I. But I want you to look back at particularly those first couple of verses. He says, nevertheless, in 42, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. So there were those who were in authority and power that had, basically, if you will, the bully pit in order to share the gospel even greater. He says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They more worried, which 43 follows up, He says, for they loved the praise of men more than they did the praise of God. They're more worried about what people might say when you or I open our mouth. Imagine for a moment if Jesus had been worried about what people would do for coming and saying and giving the commands that the Father had given Him. You and I would not have an opportunity of everlasting life. That's the bottom line. Because He wouldn't have been obedient. And the praise of men lasts about that long. You don't believe it? Take a gander for 5 minutes at the news one day and then watch it the next day. One day they're praising one of the politicians, the next day they are the scum of the earth. They couldn't see straight. Our hearts, just like the Old Testament teaches of the Israelites, are flighty. We change our mind on a dime. We're convinced things one way, and as soon as we get a little more information, poop, we change. I said nature, you know, the scripture tells us that nature always shows all the things that God created. The Texas weather is much like our opinions. It can change quite a bit. And I have been in Lubbock, Texas when it started out sunshiny and 70 degrees. 10 minutes later, the clouds came in. It was snowing and thundering and lightning. And then the wind blew. And in 30 minutes, I saw every season go by. That's how quick we change too. So what notice also in John here at the end of it, and the same is true for you and I, as He comes down and Jesus says, I didn't come to judge, neither you and I are here to judge, but He came to save. Our duty and responsibility to our Lord and Savior is not to judge others. Ours is to present the gospel. Ours is to try to save people, not of our own power, but by His word, by giving them the gospel. Just as He did not give His own word, He gave the Father's gospel. The Father is the one who desired for you and I to be reconciled. The Father was the one who wants you and I to be part of His family. The Father is the one who wanted adopted you and me as His children. And without the work of Jesus Christ, that would have never been possible. He also says, he who rejects me does not receive my words. Same thing Jesus tells his disciples. If you give the gospel and those people don't want to accept it in their day for their time, he says, shake the dust off of your feet and your sandals and move on. That's right. We don't sit there and beat them over the head. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean that it's a one and done deal. You and I should keep them in prayer and pray that someone else, that God would send somebody else to plant that seed and maybe it'll have the opportunity to grow. We did what we were called to do. We present it, we move forward to where God leads us next. Finally, he says that the day of judgment comes on the last day, and that will be for each and every one of us. And we thank God that our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life by receiving His Son. But he says there that he said, He gave me a commandment in 49 and what I should say and what I should speak. God gives you and I those same commandments through the Holy Spirit. And when He tells us to speak, speak. When He tells you to shut up, shut up. When He tells you to stand, stand. When He tells you to sit, hit the bench. He is in control, not you and I. But the last verse 50, He says, I know His commandment is everlasting life. Well, if it was everlasting life for Jesus, guess what, folks? It's everlasting life for us. Every bit of it. From salvation to ministry, all the way up until the point of death, knowing, just as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did, and God made it a promise. And the same is true for you. I'm not special in any form or manner. What a sweet, sweet spirit came over this place this morning. So as you leave here today, as the sign says, you're walking into a world of the harvest and needs the ministry. You are that minister. You are the one who have the ability to share with people that the rest of us may never meet. And you may only meet them one time in your life. But there's others that you are around constantly. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid of what people might think. Be more concerned about what He thinks. For you see, when that day comes for each and every one of us, what we want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to go to heaven with any regrets. Man, I wished I'd have talked to so-and-so. Oh, for you see, our job is to do His will. Let your light shine. Get the praise of our Heavenly Father, not of men. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done. Hear this.